Morning, Richard. How are you going? We are thinking of all our friends in Sydney. We've been through it here in Victoria, and it's pretty nasty what we are seeing on the television. Another minimum 4-week lockdown up there. How are you and everyone holding up, Rich?
Well, thanks for thinking about us. We do appreciate it up here in Sydney, our Victorian friends.
We are friends.
I know we are. Look, it's getting more difficult here because, you know, it looks like the Parramatta LGA might go into lockdown, and that creates difficulties for horses at, and trainers at Rose Hill. We know that Warwick Farm are suffering a little bit there in an LGA that's locked down in Liverpool. So it's getting more complicated for us. But, you know, we've had a good run, and if we can keep it going, that'll be pretty good. The rest of it, I've got opinions on that, but it's for another show. But I was very glad to hear about Living Legends. I think that is a great initiative, and we should all support that strongly. It really is something that it's good news story for racing. It's good for those horses. And so that's great. And I'm glad to hear also that there's going to be perhaps some changes on the qualifications for trainers. Trainers have the worst business model in the entire racing industry. And, you know, largely it's our own fault. We've allowed that to happen. But, you know, this attitude of regulators licensing basically anybody who wants to put their hand up and be a trainer. Now, I know that has tightened up over the last few years, but it needs to tighten up a lot more so that we can get a viable training business for young people coming through.
And regular assessments, I would imagine, as part of that as well. Not just get your licence and then off you go, do your best. Do you think overall we've got too many trainers?
It's a hard question to answer because a lot of the trainers that you see on a raw number are training one and two horses. But we are in the professional era. You know, you don't see Formula One cars being, you know, owned and operated by the bloke with a garage on the corner. You know, I think we've got to say we're going to be a professional sport. We're going to be a high-profile professional sport. We need professional trainers.
Mm. Well, Matt Stewart will have more news on that coming up. Just on that COVID situation, logistics, I mean, we know racing's done a remarkable job to continue trading throughout this period, but is it getting to a stage where you fear there could be some jeopardy about the logistics of continuing to train and race horses in that inner Sydney area?
I don't perceive that. At the moment, I think we're going to hold the line. I don't think that's on the cards at the moment. In fact, I'm quite confident of that. I'll be very surprised if we don't just continue on through this. But it will be more complicated for us, and there'll be a lot more testing and a lot more juggling of schedules and staff rosters and things like that.
Well, let's hope that we can get on top of this because the horses coming out of Sydney are absolutely phenomenal, and your stable is just bursting at the seams at the moment with good horses. And I loved your tweet yesterday with querying this golden slipper curse and stay inside, back at the trials yesterday. It looks like he may be able to overcome that curse.
Well, we hope so. All I was saying in that tweet yesterday was it seems odd to me the perception that the horse that won the golden slipper, who had four reasonably soft runs and only went to the slipper and had a nice long spell, is rated more of a chance not to fire in his three-year-old year, which is always a possibility, of course, than the horse that ran second, Animo, who had seven runs in two states. And the way he races, they're pretty hard runs. And, you know, I've got ultimate respect for Animo. I think he's a great horse, and I don't think there's a lot between them. But the perception is that one's at risk and one isn't, and that it's got me scratching my head, but hey, everybody managed to point out the bleeding obvious that, oh, the slipper curse is about the winner. Well, yes, I know that. but I was just bringing up the logic of it, you know?
Hey, did you have your heart in your mouth yesterday? I didn't realise until I subsequently saw Tommy Berry's comments and went back and looked at the replay about stay inside knuckling at the start, and Tommy Berry thought he was lucky to stay on the horse.
Well, it's amazing that he gets in the gates, he stands as quiet as a church mouse in the gates. But he's like a coiled spring, and he just wants to burst the gates and run. And he could have slipped a little bit yesterday, or something might have happened that he just went down on his nose. But he's got amazing balance, that horse. He just picked himself up and went straight back into stride, which was a thing that Tommy said, quite amazing. You know, you'd expect him to take maybe, you know, half a dozen strides to get his balance again. He had his balance back in two, three strides. So, but he is a talented racehorse, and he trialled nicely. It's not definitive. because a lot of, you know, young horses coming back in their three-year-old year do that. But it's a good sign.
Do you feel he's come back better? Has he progressed, grown at all and developed more?
He's no taller. He's the same height that he was, but he is a lot broader, particularly through the shoulders and neck as he develops. He's a colt, you know, and getting into spring, he's starting to develop. But he's certainly not, you know, he certainly hasn't gone too far that way either, which, no, he's just good at the moment. But look, we'd have liked him to have grown another half a hand, but, you know, he seems to be big enough.
The Everest is obviously the major target. Is that what you zeroing in on? Is that what you want to see him compete in?
It's not so much what Michael and I want to see him compete in. He's now owned by a very powerful stud in Newgate Farm and their partners. And, the Everest is probably one of the very few races now that moves the needle on his value. He's a very valuable horse. We all know that. Can he become more valuable? Well, maybe the Everest is the only race that can make him more valuable. Winning another Group 1 as a three-year-old over a sprint distance probably doesn't shift it a lot. Nice to win, no doubt. We'll be trying to win anyone we can, but the Everest is kind of unique in that regard.
So would you go down the Golden Rose path as well, or would you focus solely on an Everest?
Good question. I don't like to answer those questions because that's a question that we would have to be in consultation with Newgate on. Michael's closer to the horse. He's got him at Randwick. So I'm probably not the one who should be commenting on that. But
could you do both?
Say,
could you do both?
Well, I think that's possible. Mm. I think it's possible. It's possible for any horse, but I'm just going to sidestep that question.
All right. When do we get to see him back first up?
I think the plan is to go to the San Domenico. That's sort of become more firm over the last week or so. We've been sidestepping that question too. Just wanted to see how he trialled and where we were at before we made any comment on that. But I think now the San Domenico looks more likely.
Gee, you would have been rapt with the return of Prime Star, how he looked yesterday.
Went enormously. He pulls those out from nowhere, that horse. He's a very underrated horse. You look at his record, the winner of $2 million, and you know, it's just very rare to get a $55,000 yearling that just keeps doing it, and it looks like he's come back better than ever this prep.
So what are you thinking for him now?
Well, he's hard horse to place because he's not big, so carrying weight could be a problem in lower grade races, and you know, historically, he's just found one or two to beat him in the higher grade races. So he is a hard horse to place. Michael and I were just talking about that yesterday, that he's not an easy horse to place, but we'll just have to be as skilled as we can be at that.
And will we get to see Forbidden Love back in Melbourne this spring carnival?
That's possible, although they have thrown a spanner in that works, given that they've put on a new race for fillies and mares. So up here. So
this is a good question for you, Richard. What's more valuable, to try and win the Group 1 or take the prize money?
Well, she is a Group 1 winner already. Whether that increases, a second Group 1 increases her value much, and I wholly understand that it depends which Group 1. I'm sure if she won an Epsom or one of the big races over a mile or 1400 in the spring, it might move the needle a bit for her. But you know, equally, there is big prize money on offer, and does winning another Group 1 move it as much as the first prize money? And that's a bit of a question we haven't figured out yet.
Mm. Are you for or against, from taking your training personal hat off, which is obviously difficult to do because more prize money the better, but do you like seeing these new races taking on traditional Group 1 races during the Spring Carnival on the same days and around the same time?
See, I don't view it in the same context that you just posed that question. I don't see it as taking on those races. For a trainer, they're just adding to the menu. You know, just putting a new dish on the menu at a restaurant, you take on all the other dishes. No, it just gives the customer more choice, which might, you know, the whole restaurant might go better for it. So that's the way I kind of view it. I know that's a bit of an odd analogy, but it's just, it's just more for everybody. I mean, how can that be a problem? And I think the data shows that when these race meetings, inverted commas, clash, which I don't say clash, when they augment each other, the turnover actually goes up on both meetings. How can that be a bad thing?
I suppose what could be a bad thing is the dilution of the best horses meeting in the best races, because let's be honest, we don't have that greater depth where that 92 Cox Plate, where we got to see the best of the best take on each other. If we put good races on where we're splitting the best jockeys and the best horses, is that in the best interest of racing overall from a spectator and engagement point of view?
Well, according to the punters, it is. They keep turning over more on the meetings that do that. So clearly they're not losing interest in it. And, you know, they probably think it's easier to back a winner when you've got less of the big chances in it. It's good for the owners because they get more chances to win big prize money, and they're probably most under pressure group in racing because of the cost of it. So anything that's good for them is good for racing. And I'm sure there's people out there saying, oh, I want to see the best against the best. But in reality, a lot of those people aren't the people funding racing. You know, owners fund racing to an enormous degree. Punters fund racing, but they're clearly voting with their dollars, saying, yeah, let's bet.
Well, it's always good to have you on, Richie, for a little bit of a debate. You speak a lot of sense, and what we like is when you speak sense about finding us winners. Have you got one today?
Oh, I think Shuffle Up is stepping up to. He's in an early race today. I think race three at the Kenzo. He's one of my favourite horses ever. I know he's not the best horse we've ever trained, and will not be. But what he's been through, he's bowed two tendons and recovered from both of them. And just on the verge of getting back to the races from his second bowed tendon on the other leg, not on the same leg, he got a clod in the eye and nearly lost his eye. And he's fought back from that as well. And he's racing really well. And we're stepping him up to 2,400 metres. And he's just so tough that I just think he can out-tough them.
Well, that's a good one for the listeners. Hey, just quickly, what's your thoughts on We're Not Racing this week? Racing Victoria has given the state a week off to try and help participants have some time off. Now, it hasn't worked out with the COVID situation, but are you for or against this week free of racing?
Well, I think you can have a hybrid of that that'll work for everybody. I think different states should have different times off. I think everyone should get a chance to have. The horses will stay in work. There'll be just as many people attending the stables as there ever were. But it just allows probably the trainer to get away, the jockeys to get away, some of the form analysts to take a break. You know, a lot of people involved, but and even the stable staff. If you're doing a little bit less with them, you can give some of your stable staff some holidays. Look, I think it's for the health and welfare of the industry going forward. It's a good thing. It should be longer. But we can sort of stagger it around Australia so that the punters have still got something good to bet on.
Richie, good to catch up as always.
All right. Thanks, Michael.